Right. We're going to try and go deeper. Try and, if the word comes, I don't know if this is the right word, but I'm going to try and drag us deeper. Lord God, I pray that, Lord, your word would sink deep within us. Pray that you draw us deeper into yourself. I pray that you'd protect us against all the lies of the enemy. And I pray that you'd reveal your truth to us. I pray that we would have anointed ears to hear you speaking. And Lord, I pray that you'd fill us with resolve. Pray that we would have humble ears to hear, and that you'd fill us with resolve. And praise you, Lord, in your name. Amen. Everyone left. How many people are taking care of the kids? Yeah, I actually really feel like, I don't know where some went. I feel like waiting. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Yeah, so a few weeks ago, Randy came and talked with us about spiritual warfare. And this is a real battle. And I was so appreciative, like Morgan, that you shared last week. I don't want to tell other people's stories, unless, like at times, yeah, we share other people's stories, but they've already shared it. But I never want to share someone else's story when they haven't shared it. That's not my place. I share my story, and you share your story, and we know, well, it's between us and God when we're ready to share our story. But one thing I love about Morgan, you being so vulnerable with us last week, and that is, it really just highlights the fact that this is a real battle. This is not, we're not playing games. We're not delving into theory and philosophy and maybe this is the way it is or parable. It's kind of like this and that. No, this is a very real war that we're dealing with and a very real enemy. And he is out to destroy and kill and rob and we need to fight the good fight. And I've said many times, many times, we are all dealing with our stuff, and we have those demonic strongholds in us. And, the whole John Wimber, where he was asked, does that mean every Christian has a demon? And he answers, no, every Christian has many demons. And I really, really believe that. I was not raised that way. I was taught that the enemy can't touch us. I've heard teaching on how he is a toothless lion, and he can't harm us. And because we are filled with the Spirit of God, or we have the Spirit of God living in us, that the enemy can't live where God lives. And like Randy said, that's, of course, untrue, because the Spirit of God is everywhere. That would then theoretically mean that the enemy is nowhere, and yet we know he is here and present and alive and active and trying to tear us down. And so it's this place of, Lord, help me see the way you see. We have talked before about Ephesians, where don't give the devil a foothold, and specifically there it's talking about don't let the sun go down on your anger. The part that sometimes we have highlighted is that he does get a foothold in our lives at times. A topos, a beachhead, a place to attack us from within, not just from without, not launching an attack from without, but actually from within. And then we come to a passage like 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And Paul is trying to correct the Corinthian church. And they have all this wrong thinking about sin, wrong thinking about freedom and license, wrong thinking about their sexuality, wrong thinking about idols and idolatry and joining in with idolatry and eating food sacrificed to idols, wrong thinking about taking each other to court and finance, wrong thinking about worship when they gather together. And he's trying to teach them on so many different fronts. And it was just wrong thinking after wrong thinking after wrong thinking. And then you have the 2 Corinthians 10 passage, and it's obvious that they think that, oh, Paul, who is he? He's so timid, and he's so, when he's among us, he's just all timid. He's bold in his letters. Yeah, big talk. But when you come around, you're all meek and mild. And they didn't understand that actually the reason he was meek and mild when he came to them in person is because just the Spirit of God would pour into him like the Father's heart. And he would realize, and in those moments, now what they need right now is a loving embrace. They need gentleness right now. Just, and yet they didn't realize that sometimes a parent is called to not be meek and mild. Sometimes the parent is called to discipline and spank the child, if you will. Sometimes we as parents, we think what the child needs is a hug, and really they need a spank, you know. And they need discipline. They need a hard word. And sometimes that's the most loving thing we can do. Sometimes they do need a hug. Sometimes they do need a gentle word as well. And oh God, give us the wisdom to know which is which. And Paul had that wisdom. And so they thought Paul was wimpy, and yet he was just being loving. And he knew that there are times for him to be gentle, and yet he realized that actually when I come to you again, I fear that I'm going to have to be hard with you. Or maybe God will humble me again and I'll be gentle with you because that's what he wants. But it's not an endorsement of your behavior is what he's saying to them. You know, so he comes and says, by meekness, chapter 10, verse 1. By the meekness and gentleness of Christ, I appeal to you. And we always want to be gentle first. That's the goal. The spank is like because the gentleness. We use the spank and the discipline because the gentleness isn't getting through. It's not having the effect that it's supposed to. But anyways, I appeal to you, I, Paul, who am timid when face to face with you, but bold when away. I beg you that when I come, I may not have to be as bold as I expect to be towards some people who think that we live by the standards of this world. And so he's, I want to come in gentleness again. And I hope I don't have to be bold. Can you listen to my gentleness so that I don't have to be bold? Can you listen to my loving speech so that I don't have to be hard on you? Please. You know, I hope I don't have to be as bold as I think I'm going to have to be. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. And we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. Basically, this place of, I am really ready to punish your disobedience once you understand. Because we always need to discipline. There needs to be discipline towards rebellion. Anyways, I want to go back to those verses that talk about, though we live by the world, we don't wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they had divine power to demolish strongholds. And we toss around that word. But what is the stronghold? As I was thinking about this, and in light of what we learned about spiritual warfare and all of that, Lord, what are the strongholds in our life? We know that the enemy can gain a foothold and a topos, but then he starts building a stronghold. Once you invade the country, you start to build a stronghold so that you can stay in that country. You know, and you build up the walls and you build up the fortifications and all of that. Well, what are those fortifications? And it's really in the next verse there. They're arguments. They are arguments. They are pretensions, which are logical conclusions that set itself up against the knowledge of God. Basically, in a word, they are lies. Lies that we believe. The strongholds that the demons hide in and launch their attack from within in our lives, the strongholds are lies that we believe. They are walls upon walls of lies, brick upon brick. They are lies that we buy into. They are arguments. Do you find yourself ever arguing with God? They are arguments. We argue against God. We argue against his word. We argue against his character. They are arguments that we have with him. They are pretensions. And again, that word pretensions, in the NIV it says pretensions. I don't know about the other translations, but it's this word of logical conclusions. It reminds me of what we're studying in Colossians on Tuesday. And when it says, you know, the empty and hollow philosophies of this world. The empty thoughts of this world. Secular humanism, our own thought, our own wisdom. And God tears down those lies that come from our own wisdom. And our own ways, and our own understanding, and the understanding of this world. And the understanding of this world, and our own logic, and our own ways, and empty philosophy, and all of that, the pretensions, and the stuff, they just are housing the enemy. And we try and get rid of the enemy, but we have to understand that we have to tear down the stronghold first. If we tear down the stronghold, the enemy will have no defense. Randy read that passage in Proverbs where, you know, a man without discretion is like a city without walls. Meaning you have no defense. But you know what? The opposite is true too. Like where we want to make it so that the enemy has no defense. And so we tear down the lies that we're believing. We tear down the pretensions. We tear down the arguments. And we come against them. Randy talked about how when he is counseling and when he is going through a deliverance session and just sitting with someone, I'd be like, tell me your story. Tell me your story. And he'll sit and listen for hours sometimes. He'll only let you talk about your mom and dad for 10 minutes. You know? And I get that. It's like, okay, you can talk about other people for 10 minutes, but then let's stop talking about other people. Because you know what? We all have a past. We all have a history. And some of our histories are harder than others. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I don't wanna presume, because I have a beautiful history. I am so grateful. And I pray and my kids, I want to pass down even a better history to them. And I pray that when they have children, they'll pass down an even better history to them. I pray that they'll be better parents than I am. And all of that, you know, but we all have a history. But then it comes down to, now tell me your story. Tell me what you're thinking. Tell me what you believe. Tell me how you got here. Tell me what's going on inside here and inside your heart. Talk to me. And then what he does is he listens, and then he looks for the lie. He looks for the lie that a person is believing. The lie that is believed. And where you find the lie, you find the stronghold, you find the enemy. As I was meditating on this and thinking about it and praying through it, I thought of the movie Ray, and there's this one line in the movie where his mom passed down this phrase to him. And he repeats it in the movie, like the story of Ray Charles. And scratch a lie, find a thief. The enemy is a thief. The enemy wants to rob us. He wants to steal from us. He wants to kill us. He wants to destroy us. And if you want to find out where the enemy is in your life, where the stronghold is, and I'm not talking theory here. Again, a very real third-person entity attacking you from within. If you want to find out, scratch the lie. Find out what lies you're believing. Look at your own story. Examine your own story and find out where the lie is. And how do we do that? You know, I was thinking about this morning as I was just pondering again. And, you know, sometimes it's easier for, you know, I don't know if you have this at your home, but you're eating and all of a sudden you look at across to your spouse, or you look at one of your children and they look at you and smile and they have a big, you know, a blotch of spaghetti or they have parsley in between their teeth, you know, or something. And sometimes it helps when someone else comes along and says, you know, and then the person starts wiping this side. It's like, no, the other side. And, yeah. And sometimes it's easier when someone else comes along because we can't see for ourselves. But we do have mirrors. You know? We do have mirrors. In the biblical sense, let me run over to James here. We do have a mirror as well. We do need others in our lives, and it helps when others come along. And, you know, Carlene, she comes along to me and she says, Kevin, that shirt doesn't really go with those pants. Or those colors don't mix. And, you know, orange socks with a maroon t-shirt just don't go, Larry. They just don't go. And then she'll tell me, you know. But at other times, we can stand in front of the mirror and know, okay? Let me read from James. I'm going to start in verse 19. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to become angry, for man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. It's talking about our ongoing salvation, our working out our salvation there. It's not talking about eternal salvation by works, where if I work hard enough, I can be eternally saved. No, we are eternally saved because of the work of Christ on the cross, his death and his resurrection, and our faith and our trust in that. What he's talking about here is it can bring about that working out of your salvation that Paul talks about in Philippians. It can save you if we accept the word planted in us. Don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Again, that's where the lie, that's one of the lies that we sometimes believe. But I know the Bible. I've read the Bible. I went to Bible college. I have my degree. It's somewhere in a box downstairs, gaining dust. You know? I know the Bible stories. I know that I have right theology. Don't deceive yourself. Don't deceive yourself. Humbly accept the word planted in you. Don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. And anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. Immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. Okay? The mirror that we have is the Word of God. And so we look at our lives, we look at our story, we look at what goes on in here, we look at what goes on in our emotions and in our mind and in our choices, and we hold it up to the mirror of God's Word. And we see if it lines up. And again, we take every thought captive, right? Back to 2 Corinthians 10. We take every thought captive and we make it obedient to Christ. How do we make it obedient to Christ? We have to measure it against Christ. How do we measure it against Christ? How do we measure it against his character and his heart? And what he says, we need to know the Word of God. And we see if our thoughts line up. We see if our actions line up. We see if our emotions line up. And when we find a stronghold, when we find a lie in our lives, we tear it down. We have to have that resolve to tear it down, but not just merely, oh, I guess I'm thinking wrong there. Look at that. Well, all right. I found out where I was thinking wrong. And then go on our merry way. No, then we're like a person who looked in the mirror and then just goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. Well, because it's this place of, did you just read? Did you just not read that passage? Yeah, and I praised God for it. Amen. I said, thank you, Lord. But then you just went and did the exact same thing that you used to do. Yeah, but I praised God for reading it. I saw it. What good is that? What good is it if I say to one of my kids when they're, you know, eating spaghetti and they got spaghetti splotches on their cheeks? I have no idea how they do it, but they do it. And I say, you know, you should go to the bathroom and just go look in the mirror and check it out, okay? I don't mean to embarrass them, by the way, although I guess, oops. Is that too late? We all do it. Come on. We all have stuff. I sometimes have to wear a few shirts a day because, I don't know, I need a bib. But it's like, go check it in the mirror. What would good would it be is if they went there and then they come back and they still have stuff on their face? Like, did you not see it? Yeah, I did. Thanks for showing me. Thanks for pointing it out. I'm going out on a date now, you know? Really? But you didn't do anything about it. You have to do something about it. We look intently into God's perfect law. We see it. And then, oh, it doesn't line up here. Okay, Lord, I want to start tearing down that stronghold. I want to stop believing the lie. I want to stop walking out the lie. I want to tear it down. I want to take every thought captive, and I want to make it obedient to Christ. And it's not just the thinking. It starts in the thinking, but you know, the way you change the thinking often is you change the action. And as you change the action, the thinking will change as well. Or like last week we talked about, we repent. We repent. We take it to the Lord and say, oh Lord, I'm wrong. I've been wrong in thinking this way. I bring it to you. I want to change my thinking. I want to be transformed. The passage that Carlene read for Miriam this morning. Transformed by the renewing of our minds. So we take every thought captive, and wherever something isn't... See, here's the thing about strongholds too. Wherever we think incorrectly, you will find action incorrectly as well. Wherever there's wrong action, there's wrong thinking. I guarantee you that. Wherever there is wrong action, there's wrong thinking. And it's like, Lord, I don't want to give the devil a foothold anymore. I want to kick him out of my land. I want to tear down these strongholds. Lord, show me where I'm believing the lie. Show me where this action comes from. Show me where this action, this wrong action, which doesn't measure up, where the thought is. Because sometimes we can see the action, we can't see the thought. But then the Lord begins to reveal where the thought is, and that's the stronghold, the lie. And I want to tear down the lie. And once the lie is torn down, then we go after the enemy and we kick him out. So again, I want to give some practical. So the way I walk this out. So when I find out that I'm believing a lie, okay? So a lie of entitlement or a lie. We've been very open about our marriage and some of the struggles in our marriage in the past. One of the struggles from my end of things, okay, was, and it's still, it's the stronghold is not fully torn down yet. This was a huge, this has been a huge stronghold in my life. You know, we're not talking just, you know, one cinder block thick walls. We're talking 10 meter thick walls, 100 meters high kind of stuff. And I shared a little bit last week, I think, where I even confessed it to Randy and just walked through a little bit where I believe it up here. Understand when I say I don't believe. I mean, I understand it intellectually, but I'm talking from the depths of me. I still find it hard to believe that Carlene loves me. We've been married 26 years. We're in our 27th year. Just hold it. Had to go back. Married in 92. And she has taught me so much about actual biblical love. Like, love is patient. Love is kind. The Lord has used her to teach me that love isn't just a feeling. The ushy-gushies. I have enough of the ushy-gushies for everyone. You know, like I got enough to go around. I got the ushy-gushies flowing through me like crazy. And yet, that's not, like, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But that's not biblical love. So the Lord taught me through her and all that. And yet, I find it still hard to believe. I said to Randy, I have trouble with believing that people respect me. And so I shared with him, like, I find it hard to believe that Carlene respects me. I said, I find it hard to believe that my kids respect me. I just, I can't get over it. Like, and then I said to him, and even you, like, I've known Randy for 20 some odd years and all of that. And I said, I just, you know, I'm just openly confessing. I find it hard to believe that you respect me, Randy. He's like, really? I'm like, yeah. And I know it's wrong. I know it's a lie. And yet there it is, just deep. And so the way I deal with these lies is I bring them out into the open. I expose them. They hate the light. The lies hate the light. Okay? The enemy hates the light. He loves darkness. Okay? And our own flesh loves the darkness. But I just expose it to the light. I confess it to other people. That's why I'm open with my life with you. Because, like, yes, it'll help you, I hope. You know, but that's almost a secondary thing. I'm actually being selfish, which maybe I have to confess. No, I'm just kidding. But I'm set free as I open my life up to others. And I expose it. And sometimes just speaking it out, too, it brings accountability. Not like where I need people to come and hound me or anything, but maybe someone that, oh, you struggle with that. That's interesting. And then if they see hints of it, Kev, are you going down that road right now? Is your line of thinking going down that road? Oh, you're right. You know what? It is. But just exposing it. I repent. I bring it to the Lord. I say, Lord, there it is again. That's one of my big prayers. The Lord hears that phrase a lot. There it is again, whatever it is. There's my insecurity again, Lord. You see it. No one else can see it. Sometimes when I've shared with people I'm insecure, they're like, really? you seem like one of the most confident people I've ever met. I'm like, yeah, I'm confident in the Lord. And especially as his spirit starts to pour in me and into my soul and out of me, then I have full confidence. You know, when the anointing is just, yeah. But no, deep down, where no one else can see, in a far off part of my country, if you will, my life, there's a stronghold of insecurity. And I've been, through prayer, through repentance, through confession, I've been tearing down that stronghold for years. And every time it rears its head, I should, not that I do, but I'm getting better and better. Every time it rears its head, I come against it. In the name of Jesus, so this is another way I battle. In the name of Jesus, I see you and I rebuke you. I rebuke you. And then you speak truth, which is exactly what Jesus did. Now, Jesus didn't have any strongholds in his life, okay? But the way he battled temptation is a good example to us. He brought scripture to it. And he spoke the truth. The enemy was speaking a lie. Even when the enemy was using scripture, the enemy was speaking a lie because he'll take the scripture and twist it. Right? The best lies are the ones that are cloaked in truth. Right? Covered in truth. But the Lord came against the enemy's lies with truth. You know, and so it's this place of, oh, first of all, I am secure in God. He loves me. I am loved by God. I am his child. I am his child. He adopted me. He chose me. Chose me as one of his children. He chose to pay the price for me. I am loved. And you know what? And then I know Carlene loves me. And I choose to believe her words. I imagine if she was here, she would be nodding her head. How frustrating it probably is for her, has been for her at times, when she's like, no, Kevin, like, I love you. And I respect you. Yeah, you're just saying that. So basically, I'm calling her a liar to her face at that point. And how frustrating that is. It's like, take me and shake me. She wouldn't, but like, want to, right? Get it through your thick skull. You are loved. You're respected. And so I would begin, like, I forget when, but probably before even when we were, like, I was trying to fight through it before we were healed in Thailand and that, but continually, no. Like I say to my feelings or say to the stronghold, say the demonic. That is not true when it says you're not loved or you're not respected. It's not true. In the name of Jesus, go away. That is not true. I believe, I choose to believe what Carlene is saying. So I take it to the Word. I measure it against Christ. I measure it against reality. And I come against it and I rebuke it. And I more and more, I'm trying to refuse to walk out what unbelief looks like. So in regards to our relationship then and insecurity looks like something when you walk it out. And I have too often given into that. Tried to take the thought captive, so the thought's trying to go this way, but my actions are going this way. I'm trying to take the thought captive and walk towards Christ in my thinking, but my actions is like a spoiled brat or a little baby sometimes, you know? And I'm trying to, I guess, line up my action. Like it says in James, I'm trying to do what the Word says rather than do what the stronghold says. And so rather trying, I would play the make the person feel guilty card. I'd be the old pouty face, you know, little kid. And when we do that to each other and it's teasing, that's okay. Like, that's just having fun. And we all do that. We're all silly with each other. Hopefully you're silly in your homes and with the ones you love. And I know that I love you guys and I'm silly with you often. There's nothing wrong with that. But when there's truth to it, when silliness crosses a line, if you will, we have to stop that action, because that action is just feeding the stronghold. With one hand, we're trying to tear down the stronghold. With another hand, we're handing the enemy bricks and starting to build the stronghold for him. I want the stronghold torn down. Here you go. I'm building it now again. And it's this place of stop it. Stop it. Stop the tongue before it starts speaking. It has strength even when it's not spoken, but it has way more strength when it is spoken. Don't say those things that are against Christ, that are against God. I've had the opportunity many times in life and counseling and that to say to people, don't speak things over yourself that aren't true. Oh, I'm never going to change. Oh, don't say that. Stop it. You have no idea what God can do in your life. Are you saying God can't change you? Are you saying really, like, you know, he created the whole universe from nothing, and then he comes to you and he says, boy, I don't know what I'm going to do here. I don't know how this is going to change. Whew, this is a tough one. Sure, I created billions upon billions of galaxies by just speaking them, but whew, this is totally different. No, he can change us. He who began a good work in us will carry it on to completion. Don't speak things over your life that you don't know anything about, really. Don't speak things that are in agreement with the enemy. And don't do things that are in agreement with the enemy. As we examine ourselves, take the thoughts captive, take the actions captive. And if you have to, Lord, I'm going to drag myself towards you, if you will. And I know that, Lord, if you don't intervene, I won't get very far at all. But here's the thing. I know you will intervene. I know you will do a work in my life. I know that he who began a good work in me will carry it on to completion. You are the author and the perfecter of my faith. You will not stop until I am perfect. And so I am going to walk towards you. I'm going to confess, even if I have to confess it 100 times a day, even if I have to repent 100 times a day, even if I have to take a thought captive 100 times, 200 times, 300 times a day, I'm going to do it because I want to tear down this stronghold. Are there any comments or questions on this? And someone might have to man the cordless mic. Yeah, there we go. Are there any comments or questions on this? I didn't see any. Yep. You.
I understand what you're saying. Yep. Of, oh. Like, I understand what you're saying of, for, like, you know, for yourself that you have this insecurity.
Yeah.
Like I'm sometimes, like, I feel things, like, I know myself, I have a hard time with my emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that sometimes they kind of try to rule the roost, you know? And so that's something I'm constantly working on. See, you know that you have this insecurity, but sometimes you just sense things, but you don't know why.
Right.
You don't know why. So it's like, so you pray about it, but you don't really know what the deep root of it is.
Right. And sometimes, yeah, so we won't know the deep-rooted lie, but we start where we start. You start where with what you can see. So the lie of that, for instance, the emotions should rule the roost. You've already dealt with that lie, but actually many people are like, no, I just feel that way. So the lie is I'm justified in walking this out because I feel it. And the lie is that we should live our lives by our feelings. That's a lie. Okay? Because quite frankly, okay, in one certain way, in one certain way, I care about what you feel because, like, we need to understand and the feelings have a place in our lives. And I'm saying this as a deep feeling person, okay, deeply emotional person. Like, they have a place and they are beautiful. Like, emotions are beautiful. But the lie, like, on the one hand, so I care about what you feel. On the other hand, it's like, I don't really care what you feel. What does that have to do with anything? Right? It's you need to walk it out. You need to walk out the truth. So the lie is, no, but I feel that way, therefore I'm going to walk it out. No. We are not called to walk by our feelings. We're called to walk by faith. We're called to live according to every word that comes from the mouth of God, not from every emotion that comes from our emotions. And so if you've dealt with that lie, right? You deal with that one, and then the Lord will reveal a deeper one, you know? And depending on your story, you take your thoughts captive and you measure them against Christ and you make them obedience to Christ. And eventually, the Lord takes you down. And often this is through counseling too. Like, I know that Carlene shared about our prayer time with Randy and how she went through some deliverance. And as he listened, he's like, oh, there's something interesting in this story, you know? And he took it to this place of, do you see the lie there? Do you see, you know? And he pointed out this fear of rejection. You know, and oh, yeah. And then we could pray through that, you know. And so you just take it for, like, I hope I'm answering your question. You take what you can see. Don't worry about what you can't see, but each layer, if you will, you deal with the lie that is revealed. And then you eventually, the Lord will get you down to the root. And often the root is, well, actually, everyone has different stuff. Does that make sense? So you deal with, how you find out is you look at where you're believing a lie. And that's where you find out where a stronghold is. What lie are you believing? And we're going to talk, I'm going to ask questions, just so you know, I'm going to ask questions like, what are some examples of lies that we are believing? And lies in our lives. But that's coming a little bit later.
Just along the lines of that, one of the biggest lies that is told to us, and it's all out there, is just do what feels good.
Right.
And yeah, that can send you down so many roads. Oh, but it feels good.
Yeah.
It's like, but exactly, you just gotta. Yeah, I'm thinking more along the lines of the Lord, obviously, as I progress in my walk.
Yeah.
But that was more how I looked at things.
Right.
Obviously, it's kind of like, well, I want to go to this place because I don't care what anybody, it's great. I enjoy myself.
Yeah, I enjoy
it. But it's, you know, yeah, not good.
And that's one of the biggest lies. But we had fun. It was enjoyable. Yeah, and? But if it's against God, you know. I remember, you know, talking with some believers and they'd be joking. And their joking got quite rude at times. And I used to be into rude joking as well. Not good. And what I often have heard back is, but it was funny. It's like, yeah, that joke actually was. Because there are some rude jokes that are actually quite funny. Like, they're witty and they're wordplay and all this kind of stuff. But that's not our measuring stick. So the lie is, as long as it's funny, it's okay. Or shows that we watch, or different things that we watch. As long as it's well made, but it's so well made. Yeah. And the lie is, well, as long as it's well made, it's okay. It justifies me watching this. Or it has a good point. Okay? It has one redeeming quality. It has a few redeeming qualities. But does that overrule everything else? You know, and I'm not saying let's become legalistic here, but again, the lie, like pointing out the lie, it reveals then, scratch a lie, find a thief. The lie, you know, once you scratch that lie and just examine it a little bit, don't let it pass so easily. You examine it. Oh, I see. Any other questions or comments on them? Yep, Braden.
So when it comes to like problems you have and you're working through, there's definitely a place of, I know, you and God, you know, you guys can, you know, work it out. And there's definitely sins in your life and strongholds that can get rooted out that way. But how strong or how big is a factor is, you know, going to other people and getting help from others? You know, how much, like, yes, I do know there's a place of just, yeah, you and God, you know, God can, you know, use it. But how important, you know, majority of the time would you say that, you know, using others, and how big of a effect does that have, would you say?
Right. It reminds me of later on in James, where it talks about if we confess your sins to each other and you will be healed. There is something really powerful about being open with others. And it's not just this place of like Proverbs where, you know, if you have many counselors, you know, your walk will be a lot better. That's a Clausen paraphrase kind of thing. It's not just that. There is a spiritual power in confessing, in bringing things out into the light. And so what I would say is, it's this place of not necessarily categorized, like, oh, small ones, I can deal with myself, big ones. I'll just, in the right moment, by the leading of the Spirit of God, but I'll be willing to share anything with anyone kind of thing. Like, obviously, certain things, you know, mixed company, meaning, like, I wouldn't share with some women some of the stuff that I go through, you know, or have gone through. Just because it wouldn't be appropriate, and even in marriage, I'm careful, like with certain things and that. You got to use wisdom as well, but I don't know that it's like. That's not true. See, I was just examining that. There are some stuff where it's good to go through it by yourself, actually. I was going to say there's nothing really that we should go through by ourselves fully, but yet there is. There is some stuff where, because sometimes the lie, and here's some of the subtle lies, I need someone else to walk through this with me. Sometimes that's true. Like, I don't care how good of a heart surgeon you are, you shouldn't do heart surgery on yourself. I don't care if you're the best heart surgeon in the world. You need someone else at that point, right? But there are other things where it's beneficial to walk through it, just you and God. But the lie is that I need someone else, like, so only believe God. But other than that, I would say walk a humble life. Just be humble with your life. Be humble in front of others. Don't guard your reputation and all of that. And I think that is a way to fast track. Like, that's a real quick way to tear down strongholds when we're just... We expose it to the light. Yeah. Does that answer your question? Yeah. But there are times where I think it's this place of, I know I'm supposed to walk this out with God, or just walk it out with my family. I talked about, I know I talked with Randy about this. I think I've mentioned it here, but the whole reality of the Israelites in the days of Nehemiah, and they rebuilt the wall. You were supposed to rebuild the wall in front of your own home. Rebuild the wall in front of your own home. You and your family, you know, you rebuild that. And when an enemy comes, you fight against that enemy when he comes. If he comes at your where you're repairing the wall, you fight against him. Don't always call other people to come and fight. Like, they have their own battles. They have enemies coming where they're building their house. But then there are times where the enemy is too great, and you blow the trumpet like they did in Nehemiah, and everyone would gather at that one place, because it's like the enemy is too strong in that one place for this one family. We're all going to gather together and fight together. But there's wisdom in to know when is the best. But often the lie, the way the enemy will work is when the enemy is too strong for someone, the enemy will convince the person not to call anyone. And when the battle should be fought on their own, often the enemy is trying to gather everyone, like, gather around, you know, kind of thing. It's like, ah, that we, Lord, give us wisdom in that. Does that make sense? One final thing on that. Whether you gather people around or not, and I do agree, like, being open with each other, you know, being humble, being vulnerable, I really believe in that. But here's the fact. You have to fight the fight for your life. That's a fact. I can pray with you and go after the enemy in your life, but if you're not going after the enemy in your life, my fighting for you won't do much good. I'm not saying it won't do any good, but you have to choose for your life. You have to fight the good fight. And I definitely don't want to spend time trying to tear down a wall, like tear down a stronghold in your life all the time while you're building it up. It's like, that's frustrating. Yeah, so, I'm not talking about you specifically, Braden, just so you know. Any other questions or comments on that? Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Titus chapter 2.
And so mentors
yeah.
are important.
Big time.
Where, I mean, because some things are very private, and maybe you do feel like you need to share that with someone that you feel that you can trust. And
absolutely.
So, yeah. Like, and when we go through things in life, and we've come out the other end, and how God has led us through it, and helped us and yeah. guided us. And so if somebody else is coming up and they're going through a similar situation, then, I mean, God encourages us to
big time
to mentor them, right?
Yeah. It's such an important part of, you're talking discipleship, right? Mentorship, discipleship. Yeah, we're all called to be mentored. We are all called to mentor. We're all called to be disciples. We are all called to disciple. And that's where, yeah. And then there are definitely situations where, you know, yeah, women disciple women, men disciple men. Because, yeah, we think differently, we are different. And there's that place, and we need that in our lives. And not that, like, as a pastor, God has used me to speak into women's lives. He's used me to speak into men's lives and that, and there is that place. And we want to be there for each other. I want to be there for you in that. And again, sometimes someone else can see the lie better than we can.
I know that when I was just struggling to surrender to God, the one thing that I was afraid of, and it was a huge fear actually, was I was afraid of what the Holy Spirit would uncover in my life. And it's like, and that was, well, not a good fear at all. Because actually, as things get uncovered, then I have more and more freedom. Mm-hmm. But it was such a real fear. Because
yeah.
I didn't even know. Like, I'm like, what is in there?
Yeah.
And I was afraid.
So what's the lie in that?
I don't know.
Anyone? What's the lie in that? I'm afraid of what the Holy Spirit will uncover.
Well, the lie, like, that it's going to be a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a good thing.
Yeah.
When it's uncovered, like, it's going to be freedom.
Yeah.
So I don't know what
that's one of the
lies.
That's right. That it's a bad thing. Any other lies in that? Right. So that fear is a valid response. That's a lie. No, that you're valid in this. That's right. The Holy Spirit's untrustworthy. He might take it way too far. Can God take it too far? No. He'll take it exactly where it needs to go, and in the timing. He will be exactly as gentle or as hard as he knows what is needed. You know, and I know that Randy talked about the whole idea of the Holy Spirit's a gentleman, and he said that's not true, and I agree. That's not true in the way people are thinking. What I do believe is that when God truly sees that a gentle hand is needed and that it needs to be, a package needs to be opened slowly, he'll open it slowly. But when he sees that we can handle or we need a quick opening or the revealing of a lot of things, he'll do that, even though it will be against our emotions or against our feelings or the way we would like it done. And it will be, it will seem very ungentlemanly, is it? At times. Okay? But again, like the lie, because the enemy loves accusing God. That's what he did even with the very first temptation of Adam and Eve. He's accusing God of lying, accusing God of keeping things from Adam and Eve and all these kinds of things. He'll accuse God to us. So the subtle accusation in that is, yeah, the Lord's not trustworthy. He can't handle my stuff properly. I know, another lie, I know better than him. I know better than him. So one of my prayers is like, Lord, you know exactly what I need. I don't even trust myself. Paul says at one point in Corinthians where he doesn't even judge himself. And leaves all judgments to God. God knows me better than I know myself. And he knows exactly what I need. I don't know what I need. Except I need him. And so it's, Lord, you do what you need to do. In a way, in whatever way you want to do it, because I know your ways are perfect. Any other questions or comments? Yep.
Because, I mean, we got lots of stuff to deal with, at least I do. And so, but is there a point where we, instead of being what God's called us to, even in other people's lives, where we can really turn in and be
totally
too self-aware?
Yes, there is a ditch on that side where we can become too introspective. And I do not believe in digging for something. Like, I believe in allowing God to reveal it. And so it's not getting one of those mirrors that highlights every flaw, every, you know, like really magnifying glass mirrors kind of thing. It's that place of, okay, Lord, as I'm just looking. It's almost like, not the surface stuff as in the unimportant stuff, that's what I mean, but what is recognizable, just at even an easy glance, like what lies am I believing, you know? And he will, I think of an excavator that needs to dig a foundation, like a hole for the foundation, and sometimes these holes are like 6-8 feet deep. You know, sometimes even deeper, depending on how big the building is, right? You don't dig down to 8 feet, right, with the first scoop and scoop out 8 feet. You scrape until you get down to where you need to be. And allow God to do that. So it's that narrow road of, I don't want to just go through life saying, everything's fine, I'm all good, and, you know. But I also don't want to go through life examining every single little thing. No, don't navel gaze, you know, but be purposeful about it. So asking God, asking others, ooh, there's a good one. You know, Braden, you know, you're talking about bringing other people into you, like asking others who are close to you, what lies do you see I'm believing? You know, good one. Now, what lies do you see that I'm believing? And not that their perspective is perfect either, but take it with wisdom. But and so, yes, to answer the question in short, yes, we can go too far into it. Yeah.
Just a question with like Lil's comment about that spirit, and just for understanding, I guess for me is, like, would that root spirit then just be that spirit of deception that we, like, and to go after that? Because that can, that'll touch that one spot, but it'll touch
so much,
so others. Many other oh, little totally. Things.
Totally.
And it's just that lie. And so I just see it as that spirit of deception that's, and then really go after that. And I, speaking of my own life, too, I fall into that a lot of the times. And so, yeah, just cool.
Amen. And how we go after it, like, because I want to be practical, how we go after it is we confess, Lord, I'm sorry that I've listened to accusations against you. Cleanse me from that. Cleanse me from the filth that I've walked in and allowed the enemy to pour out on me. and then speak the truth. And here's the fact about that one, right? God is good. God is so good. And he loves you. He loves you so much. And just to remind, and I know it sounds bumper sticker-ish, you know, kind of thing, or cliche, but it's not. And to remind ourselves. And so when we see the accusation come, I'm not sure if I can trust God with this. And often it won't be like that. It'll be more like just a general feeling. But what is this feeling? Oh, that's what it is. Say, no, I reject it. So what you're telling me is a lie. God is good, and he has my best interest in mind.
I know I think I shared it to you on the one prayer walk, but just that the scripture came back to me, Psalm 37, like, do good and trust in the Lord, like, dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. But then, like, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart.
Yeah.
And that's really stuck with me. Like, and so to trust in that.
It's good. Believe the truth. Expose the lie, believe the truth. Walk out the truth. Okay, so what are some lies that we believe? We've already mentioned a few. What are some lies that we believe? Is anyone willing to... And if you will, please don't talk about the lies that your neighbor is believing, or the one sitting next to you is believing.
Self-justification.
Self-justification. I have every right to do that. I have a right to be angry with that person. There's someone whom I love very dearly in my life right now, or I've loved them in my life for a long time. And I can, even though I haven't talked with this person a lot, is this, I have the right to be angry. I have the right to hold this against that person. And in the world's eyes, absolutely true. Apps wouldn't find an argument from anyone in the world. But the bitterness is going to kill them. The bitterness and unforgiveness is going to kill them. You know, we don't have a right to hold on to our stuff.
Just that I'm not good enough.
There's
something flawed in me.
Right. And it's this, that's one that the enemy uses, right? Because it's so, again, it's cloaked in truth. Because we all see we have flaws. We all see that. Oh, when we read a scripture passage, there's no one righteous, no, not one. And we're like, amen, that's me. I can believe that one, you know. But it's this place of, but do you also know that you are fearfully and wonderfully made? And God knit you together in your mother's womb. And before you even took a breath, he ordained all your days of life. And he has good plans for you. Plans for you to succeed and prosper. Not prosperity gospel, by the way. That's not what I'm talking. I'm talking according to a heavenly perspective. Prosper in the kingdom of God. Yeah. Yeah.
And for me, I'm just thinking about, and it's wrong, and I know it's wrong, but I still go there a lot.
Yeah.
And from little of, you know, and I know that that I wasn't flawed, and there is nothing wrong with me. I know that in my head.
Yeah.
But how I was treated all through the years, it's like, how come so much in me? Like, what, is there something about me? And then you realize, and you know the truth, and you realize, okay, you're just thinking that way because of, it was their sin, not yours, and there's nothing wrong with you. And yet, I find that in my heart, I feel that I'm a giving person. I love, it makes me feel good. But to receive, I find it very hard. Mm. And like, even to ask for help, like, I wept so much. Oh, see, when everybody just came to help me, I couldn't believe it. I, like, both times, you know, and I was just so blown away, and it's just like overwhelming to me. So, like, I mean, and I'm working on all of that, but
it's good.
You know, why does it just not go away.
Because it's a deep stronghold, like the walls are high sometimes. And there are times in our life where you march around a city seven times and the walls fall down and you march right in. And that's awesome. Like, Lord, may it be so. But there are other times where a stronghold is torn down brick by brick by brick by brick. And some deep-rooted stuff. And the Lord knows why and the Lord knows when. And so just keep reminding yourself of the truth. And I got this picture. I was thinking about stuff like this. And you get this picture of, what if someone was, you know, at work or at school or in your home, just kept on, like, accusing you and lying, like, just saying, you're no good. That was bad. That was not good. Like, who do you, you know, you're awful and all this. Eventually, hopefully, you'd stand up and say, you know what, just go away. Stop it. Go away. That's not true. Just quiet. And that's what we do with the enemy. Just in the name of Jesus, quiet. I rebuke you. May the Lord rebuke you. I love using like biblical ways of dealing with it. When Michael was arguing with Satan about the body of Moses, it talks about it in the book of Jude, right? May the Lord rebuke you. May the Lord rebuke you. May the Lord himself rebuke you. May the Lord come against you for bringing lies against me and against him, against the Father. May the Lord repay you for what you're doing to me right now. Get out. Get out. That's often just the phrase that Jesus used. Out. Go. Leave. Now. I don't want to listen to you. And then the speaking of the truth. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you, it says. So you resist it. How do we resist? How did Jesus resist? He went to the truth. Oh, I'm a child of the King. So, here's one way to deal with it, right? I'm a child of the King, and he loves me. I was fearfully and wonderfully made. And then you begin to praise. Lord, I praise you. I'm going to use the enemy coming against me as a reminder to praise you for how you made me. Thank you for how you made me. Thank you for knitting me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for what you have poured into me already. Thank you. I give praise to God. That's how we resist, and the enemy will flee from that. And he might try and hang on for a while. He may be able to hang on for a while, but we just continually come against those lies with truth, with praise. Yeah. What other lies do we believe? Again, I want to highlight the one where people say, I can't change. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. It's not that bad. And again, it's one of those that is cloaked in truth, but it's a lie. Because often it'll be this comparison thing. It's not that bad. Finish the sentence. Compared to, well, I'm not an axe murderer. Like, come on. Like, it's not that bad. All sin separates. All sin leads to death. All of it. Every sin. Every sin is about death and decay. Right, in one sense, there is big like obviously, committing adultery is worse than like having a lustful thought, but both are death. Hating someone is not as bad as killing someone, you know. But the hatred leads to killing. Right. And this is where I've said before, if the tree is unholy, then the seed is unholy. And so do away with the seed. Yeah. All sin blemishes. And so it's a good one. No, it is. And here's one that goes with it too, that I have walked through. If the Lord's pointing it out to me right now, because if I'm looking at it and I'm seeing it, because in order to say it's not that bad, you actually already see it. So you don't have to battle that. You already see it. And if the Lord's pointing it out to me, he wants me to deal with it. The Lord doesn't point something out to me that he doesn't want me to deal with. So if I'm seeing it, I'm meant to deal with it. Yeah. Yeah.
White lies.
Yep.
Like.
Yep. It's not that bad. Yeah. Totally. Where do they lead? Like, where does it lead is what I often think. Where does this lead? Is this leading me to life or is it just leading me to death? It really, actually, like with my children, like raising my children, and Carlene and I would talk about this, like we would use, well, it's not that bad in our kids' lives, right? Well, it's not that bad. They're not playing with axes or anything, you know. I don't know what this fixation on axes is, but, you know. But it would be this place of, if I don't correct this, if I don't address this, what is it teaching my child? And so I don't need to make it a big deal. Like, I don't need to get all, like, make the world over it, or like make it a huge world-changing issue, but I do need to speak to it. I'm going to speak to it because I want to guide my children. And then I apply the same principle to myself. I should. I want to guide myself towards the Lord. What other lies? Yep. It's not my fault. Again. Yep. Yeah, that's a good one. They brought it out in me. Okay, so that one is a total lie. Okay. We are responsible for our own actions. But to realize that, no one can make you angry. You choose to be angry. It's just the truth. Or no one can make you, and whatever, no one can make you do anything. Now, we can make it, again, there's the best lies are cloaked in truth, right? And so the other person, yeah, like often in those situations, so when I've hurt Carlene or Carlene's hurt me and that kind of thing, there's some truth in it. They shouldn't have done that. But they shouldn't have done that. Especially if you start your sentence with a but, you know that there's probably something lie-ish to follow, you know. But it's this place, but she shouldn't have done that. You're right. She shouldn't have. But what does that have to do with you, Kevin? If she wouldn't have done that, it would have been easier for me. Absolutely true. And you know what? The way I live my life affects you, and the way you live your life affects me. And if I live my life better in more a godly way, it'll make life easier for you. If I am the pastor that I'm called to be, it's easier for you to be the people of God that you're called to be. Okay, because I'm called by God to have leadership in your life and guidance, give guidance and all that. And if I walk that out faithfully, it will be easier for you. But I'm not walking out perfectly, let me tell you. And your decisions, you will be called to account for your own decisions. And so it's this place of, it is my fault, Lord. It is my fault that came out of my mouth. It is my fault that I reacted that way. Yeah, it's good. And believing that here, understanding that here is really easy. When it's really hard is when you're in the middle of it. And so the way you deal with it, Lord, forgive me. I realize that Carlene's dealing with her own stuff. And I pray for her, you know. But Lord, I need to walk. I need to be the godly husband I'm called to be no matter what she decides. I need to be the godly pastor that I'm called to be, no matter what you decide. Any others? Maybe one more. Yep. Yeah. Why can't I have what they have? For sure. That's an interesting one, too, because you know what? Especially for those of us who live in this country, we tend to compare ourselves always to people who have more than us. Right? We don't tend to compare ourselves to people who have less. And, you know, there's that famous phrase from a few years ago, the 1%, you know, the 1%ers. Do you know we're all one percenters? You compare our lives and our lifestyle and everything to the rest of the world, and we're one percenters. We have it so good. So the lie is that we deserve more or we should have more, whereas the truth is we are extremely blessed. Extremely blessed. That's the truth. We have so much. We have an abundance. I can go, we'll go home for lunch now and I have cold water waiting in the fridge for me, and a fridge that's so full you can't find everything in it right now. Pantry downstairs on shelves that is stocked with, we have enough food in our home to last 2 or 3 months, maybe more. 2 freezers full of food. Stove to cook it on. Oven to cook it in. Barbecue to use outside, whatever, you know. We are blessed. Yeah, the lie of comparison. It's a huge lie. Right. I am blessed. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Absolutely. Yeah. And you know, a great way to combat that lie is thankfulness. And just speaking out thankfulness. Thank God. Like, may thankfulness be a characteristic of our lives. And so I thank God for everything. Like specifically, I'll go home and we'll pray before our meal, and I'll be like, thank you, Lord, for this air conditioning. Thank you, Lord, for our family, the joy that is around our table, the laughter that we have around our table. Thank you so much. Thank you for the vacation that we took as a family. Thank you that we actually enjoy each other, you know. Thank you so much, because it's just such a blessing. Thank you for, you know, our property. Thank you for a roof over our head when it's raining like crazy. I'll often do that. Thank you that we have a roof over our head and that our house doesn't leak, you know. At least when it does, it's in the front room and we don't get, you know, it's in the mud room. But you know, thank you for that. And thankfulness combats that lie big time. So I would encourage, look in the mirror. Now, in order to look in the mirror, you need to know the mirror. We need to get in the Word more and more. We need to know His character, know His heart, know His ways. And that way, when we look at ourselves and we see that it's not lining up, it's like, okay, Lord, I need to change. And then have that commitment. Have that commitment to change. He is not going to drag you. He will invite you. And change the way you think. Take every thought captive. Measure it against Christ. Measure it against Christ. And then be willing to change and active in your changing. Tear down those strongholds. Get the enemy out of, let's get the enemy out of our lives. Let's kick him out. Let me pray. Lord, I'm just thinking about Lord Forrest's question there or comment, and I agree. I know, Lord, that we're not supposed to fixate. And this is a narrow path. We can be too lenient and too lazy. That's one ditch. And then in the other ditch, we can be over analytical and overly harsh. And we don't want either of those. Lord, we want to walk the narrow path with you of rightly discerning. Lord, I pray that the lies of the enemy would be exposed. and that those strongholds would be torn down, because we want him kicked out of our lives. We don't want him to have influence in our lives. We don't want him to have influence in our families, in our children's lives. We don't want him to have influence in our church. We don't want him to have influence in our community, Lord God, or in our province, or in our country, Lord God. We want him totally kicked out. But I know it starts with me. It starts with us right here. It starts with what I am believing and how I'm living my life and walking it out, Lord. And so I pray that in your timing, in your perfect way, and we trust you, Lord, you are fully trustworthy. You are good. You are kind. You know exactly what is needed. You know, Lord, when I need a gentle word in my ear. You know when I need a kick in the rear end, Lord. You know what I need. And I pray that you would have your way and do what needs to be done. Expose what needs to be exposed today, and then expose what needs to be exposed tomorrow, and then expose what needs to be exposed next week, Lord God, and so on and so on. We trust you, and you are trustworthy. You are good. You are good, and we love you. We love you. We love you. We want you to reign and rule fully in our lives. We don't want to just sing about that. We want it to be a reality, an absolute reality. And so we look to you and we praise you. In your name, amen. Yeah, Josh.
I just feel like I'm supposed to encourage everybody, just especially with Braden's question, like if you feel someone, like you're supposed to have somebody pray for you, like walk that out and, just follow that prompting, because, and especially it doesn't have to be one of the elders or Kev or Carlene, if somebody is being placed on your heart, like there may be a reason that maybe they've walked through that and they've gained ground in that already. That's just what was kind of coming to my mind as I was dwelling on it. And so to walk that out and to share those things with each other and to break free. And so, just to have that freedom to walk out that prayer.
Amen. That's good. All right. Well, blessings. Yep.